I call this meeting of Sylvania City Council for October 21st, 2013 to order. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Mr. Brown?
Here.
Mrs. Capalini?
Here.
Mr. Hanem?
Here.
Mrs. Hussman?
Here.
Mr. Lukey?
Here.
Mr. Milner is absent. Mrs. Westfall?
Here.
Mr. Milner is excused, and we do have six members of council present, so a quorum does exist. I welcome you all to our council meeting. There are agendas on the two side tables if you haven't found those yet. The students have any, are your students back there? If you have any questions through the meeting, let me know. I'll be happy to answer them. Just put your hand up. The same goes for anybody else. If you want to address council on a particular issue, when we get to it in the agenda, raise your hand and I'll recognize you at the appropriate time. With that, would you please join us in our Pledge of Allegiance, this meeting led by Mrs. Capalini?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
That brings us to additions to the agenda. There have been a couple of things handed out by the clerk this evening. First was a replacement ordinance for agenda item 9 for the pilot program for the stray feral cat issue. The only change in that ordinance, I believe, was just to add the word pilot in the program. It was already down in one of the whereases, but we put it in the title to make sure that there was no confusion about that. Also, at your table tonight, or your place tonight, should have been a list of items for the gov deals, agenda item 10, that should have been handing out. I have no additions to the agenda. Mrs. Westfall.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would like to add an opportunity to schedule a finance committee meeting.
Let's make that 13A, schedule finance meeting.
We have a 13A, Mr. Mayor.
13B, excuse me. I didn't see that. 13B, schedule finance committee.
That's it. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Other members of council, Mr. Brown.
Thank you. I have just some information on an email I received from First Energy about some planned outages in Sylvania. And, the information's there, so add it to the agenda. I think we need to discuss it. It's pretty self-explanatory.
Want to add it to the information items?
Sure.
We'll just make that D on the information. I don't normally do that, but that's good information. I did get a copy of this from Meg Adams as well, so I was aware of it, but it's good to make council aware of it as well. They say they are limited outages, 33 customers and 16 customers, and they will be working with those customers. They'll know it in advance. I'm sure that it's main line work.
Can I make one recommendation? Maybe we put it up on the website?
Sure.
I can get my team.
Okay. Anybody else? Any additional items? Members of council? Not seeing any. Mr. Sanford?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Schroyer?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Chief Rodas?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Haller?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Mo?
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
All right. With that, is there a motion to approve the agenda as amended?
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and the agenda is approved as amended. Moving on to agenda item 4 is approval of the meeting minutes from our last meeting on October the 7th. Mrs. Westfall.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Unless there are any corrections, I move that the Journal of Minutes of the October 7th, 2013 meeting of Sylvania City Council be approved as submitted.
Second.
Been moved and seconded to approve the meeting minutes from October 7th, 2013 as submitted. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and those minutes are approved. Agenda item 5 was we had a request to speak to council tonight by Mary Fair of 5727 Balfour. She was here to talk about the issues on her street with you, which you are all aware of from previous discussions here. There is a memo from Mr. Sanford that was emailed out to you Friday afternoon. So you've had a chance to look at that. If you've got any questions about it or just want a general update from Mr. Sanford, whatever you want to do, or we can just move on, whatever your pleasure is. There are a few neighbors, I believe, here from Balfour tonight, but not Mrs. Fair. Welcome. Mr. Sanford, if I don't hear any questions, so.
Just what I tried to do in the memo is just give an update since the last meeting. We continue to be in contact with neighbors, follow up on any of their concerns. Kevin and Chief at zoning office have all been participating and helping and addressing the different issues on the street. With the one property, some work has been done, and it's our job now is to keep her on task and keep with the improvements that she's moving forward with on the house.
There are improvements being made to that house. I took a look at it last Thursday and can confirm improvements are being made. There is more work to be done, however.
Did Mrs. Fair call since she was in?
She's ill.
Oh, she's in the hall.
All right. Thank you. Let's move on then to Agenda Item 6. Agenda Item 6 is an annual resolution with the county auditor to establish the property tax millage rates of the city for the coming tax year. The actual tax rates are shown on the back of the first page. These are our standard inside and outside millages. They total 5.3 mils. This is not a resolution prepared by us, at least the front of it. But I believe it's in order and it's an annual one to do. Mr. Schreier, any comments?
I covered it off.
All right. Questions from members of council? If not, Mrs. Westfall.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to introduce Resolution Number 13-2013. All members of council having received copies in advance, I will read by title only. Resolution accepting the amounts and rates as determined by the Budget Commission and authorizing the necessary tax levies and certifying them to the county auditor, waiving the second and third reading and declaring an emergency.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded that Resolution Number 13-2013 be read by title only and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
I move final passage of Resolution 13-2013.
Second.
It's moved and seconded for final passage of Resolution 13-2013 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and Resolution 13-2013 is approved. As a brief explanation to the students back there in the back row, City Council is not required anymore to read resolutions or ordinances in their entirety. They can pass a motion, which was the first motion that they passed, to read by title only and waive the second and third readings. That's because everybody can have a copy in advance now. The second motion was to pass it in one night and with a 5 votes of council, they can pass issues like this that are non-controversial in a single meeting. You can listen to those two motions on some future ordinances here, but it doesn't always work out that way. Sometimes we have to come 3 times when there's a split vote. Moving on to Agenda Item 7, you have Proposed Resolution 14-2013. This is ordered legislation from the last meeting. This was as requested by a group supported by the Sisters of St. Francis. It's a resolution supporting the mission of Freshwater Future to keep Asian carp out of the Great Lakes, and it's encouraging our federal government to take the steps necessary to protect the Great Lakes from invasive carp coming into the Great Lakes. I know we discussed this some at the last meeting. I don't know if there's discussion, but Mr. Brown, I'm going to look to you to introduce it. This is kind of utilities. Our drinking water comes from the lake.
Well, it's the environmental consequence. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to introduce Resolution Number 14-2013, a resolution of the Council of the City of Sedalia supporting the mission of Freshwater Future to keep Asian carp out of the Great Lakes, waiving the second and third reading and declaring an emergency.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded that Resolution Number 14-2013 be read by title only and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
Move final passage, Resolution 14-2013.
Second.
Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Hanem.
Thank you.
The proposed resolution, I've done some research on how the battle of Asian carp is going, and there is significant doubt about, Section 3 says that physical separation is feasible and can be done in a way that maintains or enhances water quality, flood control and transportation system, and that there is significant doubt about whether physical separation can work. In fact, by some of my long-term friends at the Natural Resources Defense Council, who I've litigated with for industry a number of occasions, they have serious doubts about the efficacy of the barrier that is currently in Chicago and the ability to separate the Great Lakes. I think that Section 3 is wishful thinking in this resolution. And I don't think there's anybody on this council that knows anything more about it than I do who would be able to say that physical separation is, in fact, possible. So we're going to adopt a resolution we know nothing about and make a representation to people about doing something that that likely is not possible. Moreover, what I found is that the price tag to stop this is estimated, the lowest cost I've seen on this is $4.3 billion to carry out the anticipated efforts at physical separation. And these are things above and beyond what we are already doing. And this is all in advance of completion of a significant study being done by the GLRI to figure out how to do this. So we're spending a lot of money now that is, and there is no doubt that there is Asian carp DNA in the Great Lakes now. That's there. I guess I've spent enough time talking about this evening. I'm going to vote against this resolution because, frankly, I don't think we haven't spent the time to investigate it, first of all. And second of all, we're not doing anything about it. By passing this resolution, we do nothing. And I'm not going to support a useless act. So,
Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Luke.
I think that Mr. Hanum's comments last time were not solely related to Asian carp, but were about the broader issue of us from time to time getting resolutions like this to approve. And I think Mr. Hanum's point is often very good, which is that we have limited ability to really know about the science behind the proposal or the philosophy behind the proposal. In this particular case, it is a fairly complex issue, and I am wondering whether we oughtn't at least take the next step and have the person who sent this over to for us to consider it to come in and discuss it with us, right? I think we all have to be careful about just rubber stamping something, no matter how well-intentioned it is. So I guess I'd like to suggest that rather than voting, we have a motion and a second. I would rather suggest that we perhaps I think I'm not sure as well that this ought to be taking up council's time. It ought to be handled with a committee. And so I'd like to at least propose to council that we refer to committee, ask that someone from faculty within the sisters.
Sister Rosine Sobczak.
Okay.
And I'm not sure of her position there, but she is an environmental person.
Maybe we'd want to invite sister in, or maybe she'd want to bring some of her faculty within and talk about that with us. That raises a good point on a couple of levels, and maybe even as we move forward, that might be a protocol that we follow, is to send it off to a committee first before we actually vote on it. I invite council comment on that, but it seems to be a more sensible way to proceed.
You know, I think that certainly is a good alternative at this point in time. I think Doug's brought up some very valid points, and I would hate for us to see this not be explored further and to have it be a resolution that gets turned down when, in fact, we just maybe need a little bit.
Yeah, I'm sensitive. This is a utilities committee issue, Mike, and I don't want to preempt your prerogative on this. So, you know, if you feel we want to move forward with it, that's fine. But it just, and I don't want to tattoo your committee with having to go through the process. We could easily do it in community relations as well. But
all right. Mr. Brown, would you want to reconsider your motion and refer it to your own committee, or you want to go ahead with a vote tonight? There might be four votes here tonight. I'm not sure until we take a vote. If there are only four votes, then you got to bring it back the next meeting anyway.
Yeah. You know, if Mike wants to move forward with it, I'll support it. But again, it seems like it might be more prudent to review it.
Just when I received this from the sister, I just thought, well, I'm against having an invasive Asian carp in the Great Lakes. Somebody should be doing something, though I certainly didn't take it the way Mr. Hanum did and research it and say, well, they might be saying something wrong in their proposed resolution.
Yeah, yeah.
I just know that I don't want them in the Great Lakes.
Part of, I think, the point here is that we want to at least consider making it a little harder for someone simply to send something off to us and ask us to support it.
I'm not against that. We don't need to be a nuclear free zone or any of those other things.
Not without checking it out.
That's right.
Councilman Hanum brought up the issue of cost, and the way that I was looking at this was, what is the cost to the economic development of the Great Lakes if the Asian carp does take over in the Great Lakes? I mean, you have billions of dollars in the fishing industry, the tourist industry, and what effect that has on the region. That's how I was looking at it. I understand it's a very difficult issue, and there's probably is DNA already in the Great Lakes, and it's going to be hard to stop it. But I think it's really important that, you know, we try to do whatever we can to at least delay. I think it'll eventually happen, to delay the coming into the Great Lakes. Whether or not the dams will work, I'm not sure. But I'm concerned about the economic impact it has on our region. And studying, you know, so that we haven't studied it. Well, I'm on the Economic Council of FEMACOG, and there's been a lot of studying of the Asian carp problem on the Environmental Council of FEMACOG, which I am a member. I would like to go for a vote tonight on this and not delay it. I know, it just sends a message that, hey, try, you know, help us out in this region. That's the message it's sending. I think the economic danger to our region is so much greater than the cost that it's going to be put into trying to stop it. Even though we might not be able to stop it, let at least try. We didn't try with the Asian ash borer, and look what that cost the state of Ohio and Michigan and the Great Lakes region. So I would like to go on with the vote tonight.
I don't think it's bad to find out more about it. I was kind of looking forward to hearing more about it. I mean, I support it. I do, but I don't think there's anything wrong with finding out more about what they have to say.
Mike's, Mr. Brown's motion is still on the floor and was seconded for final passage. If you want to proceed, we'll go ahead and have a vote on it, and we'll see what happens with it, and then you can see what you want to do with it.
Right.
All right. It's Maruga and seconded for final passage of resolution number 14-2013 as an emergency measure. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Mrs. Capellini?
Yes.
Mr. Hanum?
No.
Mrs. Hussman?
Yes.
Mr. Lukey?
Yes.
Mrs. Westfall?
Yes.
Vote is 5-1. That does pass as an emergency measure. So the resolution is approved. We'll sign it tonight, and we'll supply a copy of it to this organization. We'll also send it to our members of Congress and members of the Ohio Legislature, and see if it has any, if it helps people bring issue onto it.
Yeah.
I'm also worried about
I would like to add one thing. I would consider, even though we passed this, trying to contact and maybe put together an informational meeting through the Utilities Environmental Committee, and I will work on that. I'll have a report back to council next meeting.
Very good. Mr. Mayor, a point of order. The resolution says that we will certify a copy of this to Freshwater Future. It doesn't say about sending it anyplace else.
I know, but I recommend, I'm the one that's saying, I'll probably send it off. Won't be certified copies then, Mr. Hanem, but I can, it's a public document. I can send it wherever I want to.
Okay. You can.
Mr. Mayor, just taking my other point a bit further, though, and I know you want to move on, but what would be the process to bring before council a discussion about whether we want to create a new protocol for dealing with these kinds of things? You know, we had the same issue 7, 8, 9 years ago about naming city streets, right? We had a slew of, I think, at least inquiries about naming streets after people, and Mrs. Sears and I got together at the time with our committee and kind of worked out a little one-page process. I think we could benefit moving forward for that same thing with this kind of request. How might we? It's, in my view, the same kind of thing. You know, it could clog up our machinery of government pretty quickly if we got more than a couple at a time. What would be the process? Take it to a committee to discuss? Come back with a recommendation?
I would think so. I don't know if you'd do an ordinance on it. You'd probably just come up with what you consider to be council rules, that if it affects something outside the city of Sylvania, must go to such and such a committee or be studied or further inquiries be made, if that's what you're...
Right, so maybe we could, at Community Relations, have a discussion about this, and if there was some agreement behind it, bring that recommendation to council?
Certainly.
Okay.
Future councils can overcome council rules at any time.
I suppose. Okay.
Whereas the other was an ordinance about naming something.
Was it? I don't remember if it was an ordinance. Okay.
Yep. All right.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to thank Mr. Brown for offering to bring further information to us. I think it's a very good idea. This is something I've been reading about for a number of years, and it does create a bit of panic in me to think that this could happen in our Great Lake. So I think it would be good for us to have a little more information. Thank you.
All right. We're ready to move on. We'll move on to agenda item 8, which is proposed resolution 15-2013. This is a resolution to formally participate in the inaugural Regional Water Advisory Board as requested of us by the City of Toledo Department of Utilities. Mr. Aller has been attending these meetings for some time, and I'd like him to give council an update on what this means moving forward.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yes, this group initially started at the request of the City of Toledo. Many of the municipalities, county agencies, water and sewer districts, and things of that nature that are served from the City of Toledo have been attending on a, initially started as monthly. It's reduced down to every other month here recently. But to get together and talk about issues that we all have, issues that the City of Toledo are having with their system and how that's going to affect the outlying communities, and are there things that we can be doing together or assisting each other with those operations. The City of Toledo and Mayor Bell is looking to formalize that group and to continue the meetings and to continue the discussions, and that forming of that formal group into the Regional Water Advisory Board is something that he's requesting all other communities to commit to and to provide input on. They are beneficial meetings. There have been good things coming out of it. Hopefully there will continue to be. As you know, Toledo is going to be going through several projects and improvements to their water system, and we're going to be a part of it. We're going to be affected by it. So making sure that we have a voice at the table, so to speak, is a good thing. So I can answer any questions that you have, or otherwise, if you're prepared to move.
TEMACOG has been working on this for several years to try and establish a regional water authority, and they've done financial studies to see whether or not a regional authority could be formed and could sell bonds and purchase from the city of Toledo, either all or the, all of the system or the part of the system that serves the suburbs. That is not, by the reports I've heard and read, financially feasible at this time. However, this is an early step. As far, I look at this as a step forward towards a regional water authority sometime in the future. It is working together to solve problems. I don't think it binds us to do anything in particular. This is just formalizing what has been an informal study and work group among the service directors and the mayors in the Toledo Water Service District. So I encourage you to vote this in. If there's no questions, I'm going to look to Mr. Brown for this one as well.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to introduce resolution number 15-2013. All members of council previously received copies are read by title only. A resolution of the council of the city of Sylvania to formally participate in the inaugural regional water advisory board, waiving the second and third reading and declaring an emergency.
Second. It's been moved and seconded that resolution number 15-2013 be read by title only and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
Move final passage resolution number 15-2013.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded for final passage of resolution 15-2013 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries and resolution 15-2013 is approved. Agenda item 9. You all should have a revised or amended copy of ordinance 70-2013 at your council seats. Again, I believe the only change to this was the title, to add the word pilot in front of program in the second line of the title. Pilot program was also in section 1, or on the near the bottom of page 1. Mr. Milner wanted to make it clear when he proposed this program that it was a pilot program, and the president of council brought it to my attention, and we're making sure that it is properly identified that way. I don't know, Mr. Aller, if you'd like to give us an update on your work with UMaine Ohio, but this is going to authorize up to $1,500 to work with them.
Mm-hmm. I did speak with UMaine Ohio midweek last week, I believe Wednesday. We were able to touch base, and they have an existing, a couple existing large-scale programs that they're conducting in other communities, and they plan for those to be wrapped up the latter part of this week or possibly into next week, and then we'll be ready to come into state. The plan, if you will, is to initially notify the residents as to the schedule when they'll be coming into the area. They will have to get agreements with property owners that are willing to have the traps on the property. They have to have their permission, of course. They can't just come in and set them. And then the flyers that are distributed with the case that we come in will request that those feeding the cats, or if you are feeding cats outside, to please stop doing so for a 2 or 3 day period while the trapping is taking place. As you can imagine, the trapping will be more successful if that's the case. So we have the plan set up. Now it's just a matter for the timing to work out for UMaine Ohio to have enough traps available to come into the area.
Okay. Any questions? We should probably introduce ordinance 70-2013 if we want to have any discussion or vote on it. Mrs. Westfall.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to introduce ordinance number 70-2013. All members of council having received copies in advance, I'll read by title only. Appropriating an amount not to exceed $1,500 for the establishment and implementation of a pilot program to help with the stray feral cat issue in the city of Sylvania, waiving the second and third reading and declaring an emergency.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded that ordinance number 70-2013 be read by title only and the second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
I move final passage of ordinance number 70-2013.
Second.
Moved and seconded for final passage of ordinance 70-2013 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and ordinance 70-2013 is approved. Mr. Aller, I'm sure I and city council will rely on you to keep us up to date as to the Humane Ohio activities. Thank you. Moving to agenda item 10, you had at your council seats, I believe, this evening, a list of two police vehicles and one sewer vehicle that the police chief and the service director are proposing to sell on govdeals.com. These are surplus vehicles, but I'm going to let the chief and Mr. Aller tell us what these vehicles are. Chief Rodas?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'll touch on the police vehicles and let Kevin touch on the sewer vehicle.
Right.
Currently, as council is aware, the police department has many vehicles in its fleet. In our effort to reduce the size of our fleet, I have two vehicles that have lived their usefulness to us, and so I'm requesting council's approval to go ahead and list 2002 Dodge Intrepid. This is a unmarked police vehicle, and 2003 Dodge 1500 to the crew cab truck, which is, if you look out in the lot, it's our dare truck. We're going to strip everything off of that and make it black and white and then sell it as a unmarked vehicle. One thought I wanted to do was to trade these vehicles in, but we did not get the appropriate numbers from the dealerships that we were going to look at trading them. So I feel that this time we can probably get more money for the vehicles if we go the route of Gov Deals and do it that way. So I'm requesting council's approval for the two police vehicles.
Mr. Aller.
The sewer vehicle is the, as you know, at the beginning of the year, we received purchased a new jet vac truck, jet cleaner, as well as a vector that moves the material from the sewer. We purchased that at the beginning of the year. Our initial thoughts, some area communities were interested in our old vehicle, the one that's on the sheet here. Our initial thoughts were that we'd be able to provide a vehicle to those communities, benefit the city in receiving more funds than we were being offered on a trade-in option, and benefit those communities in being able to purchase the Vector at a lower cost than what they would on the retail market. Unfortunately, those communities either had purchased vehicles in the meantime or were no longer interested in our vehicle. So we'd be going on to the open market, if you will, on Gov Deals. For information purposes, if not for the process that we have to follow, obviously, with government processes, we did receive a call probably about 2 months ago from a contractor whose vehicle had basically blown up, was no longer in use, and offered us $45,000 sight unseen for the truck. Unfortunately, government being what it is, we're not just able to say, yeah, sure. So that's the type of value that this equipment has. For trade-in, we were getting almost half, just barely half of that. And so that's why we're going to Gov Deals for help to get the type of value that the truck has.
City's had success with this site in the recent past, and we're going to give it a try on these vehicles as well. So I need a motion either from utilities or from safety. Mr. Brown or Mrs. Westfall.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move approval of the auction items on govdeals.com as presented.
Second. Moved and seconded to authorize offering for auction the three vehicles on the sheet tonight, two police vehicles and one sewer vehicle, for sale on govdeals.com. All in favor of the motion indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Moving on to agenda item 11, we have a report from the service director concerning a final change order for the Monroe Street Reconstruction and Waterline Replacement Project. Mr. Aller, you're setting a precedent here. You understand that.
I was, this one was a very pleasant surprise, Mr. Mayor. Once we accumulated all of the quantities on the project to realize it was actually going to be a deduct change order as well. The Monroe Street project, as you know, has been completed. All the work is done. We did have some additional work that needed to be done on the project. We had to add some waterline work, some sanitary sewer and storm. But even with that additional work, we were able to save some other quantities. To some degree, you know, we've been very fortunate in that when you see certain areas of pavement and how it's breaking up, you make an assumption that there's damage to that subbase and that you're going to have to pull that out and fix it. We've been quite fortunate that we didn't have to do hardly any of that on Monroe Street. When we got down to it, it was actually good solid material and was just a factor that the surface course had started to break up. So all in all, the project went very smooth. Only 2 days over schedule when you take into account the rain delays that were that have to be accommodated for in a contract. And I think the final product was a very good job. I think Gleason, construction of the general on it, managed the project well. And I would recommend approval of a deduct change order reducing the full project cost to $815,493.57.
That's a deduction in price of $12,662.78. That's at least two, maybe three in a row, Kevin?
I think three in a row, yes. Yes, I think I...
You're going to do that on the bridge?
Yeah, I think I cautioned last time, please don't get to expect that every time.
No, we won't, but it's a nice thing to have happen occasionally.
Yes. I would like to remind Council, too, also that our actual responsibility for this project is roughly about 65% of that. Roughly about 35% is covered with Ohio Public Works Commission funds.
Mr. Milner, Chairman of Streets, is not here tonight, but this is also a utility project, so Mr. Brown, would you introduce this?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to introduce Ordinance Number 79-2013. All members of Council previous receiving copy, I'll read by title only. Authorizing the Mayor and Director of Finance to approve the change order number one final to the city's agreement with Gleason Construction Company Incorporated for the Monroe Street Reconstruction and Waterline Replacement Project, which reflects the actual materials used and the work performed on this project, decreasing the contract in the amount by $12,662.78, waiving the second and third reading and declaring an emergency.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded that Ordinance Number 79-2013 be read by title only and second and third readings be waived. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Final passage.
Move final passage, Ordinance 79-2013.
Second.
Moved and seconded for final passage of Ordinance 79-2013 as an emergency measure. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries, and Ordinance 79-2013 is approved. And thank you, Mr. Aller. It was a very good project. Mr. Milner complimented you on the smoothness of the pavement the last time. I've gotten that comment from other people. It's a very nice improvement. We hope that it winters well and goes through frosty days. All right. Turning to the back page of our agenda, we're up to agenda item 12. There are six items referred by the Planning Commission. The Planning Commission met last Wednesday and took action on all of these. The first was the council referral for ZA 5-2013. This is for a CVS pharmacy at the northwest corner of Sylvania and King. They had tabled that proposal from their meeting in September so they could get more information. And they did, per what's enclosed in your packet, 12A, recommend its approval to you. However, part of their approval recommendation is that there must be enforceable agreements or an enforceable agreement made with the city that they will allow cross easements to the north when that property is redeveloped and to the west, where the Andersons Market is now, when they are willing to accept the cross easement. They had asked for it earlier, but now they want money for it, so we didn't feel that it was necessary to hold up the CVS. And that will also have agreements in it concerning the driveways being changed at the time that those cross easements go in. Mr. Aller, I don't know if you've been in contact, or their attorney's been in contact with you. I've alerted the law department that we need to make sure these are enforceable agreements with these and this property owner.
I spoke with their attorneys today, and they'll be getting a first draft to us in the near future, and then we'll obviously review, and I'll get it to the law director myself to take a look.
Their representative at the planning commission meeting was a little uneasy with moving ahead with the public hearing until those agreements were in place. However, we need, because we need to advertise for 30 days plus a little extra time to get it in the newspaper, I am recommending that we go ahead and set the public hearing for our meeting on December 2nd and authorize the clerk to advertise for that. And if we are unable to get these agreements in place, we will delay that hearing.
Mr. Mayor, there was also some agreement about, there were other agreements, weren't there, that you discussed? Turn lanes, the exit and egress, the ingress and egress in and out, those are to be included in the agreement.
Those are incorporated in it as well. It was what they can put in initially and what they'll have to do with those when they get a cross easement installed. And that's correct, it'll be part of the agreement.
And they need a zoning change, because without the zoning change, they can't build this building.
They're M2 now, and they need to go to B2 to do this. That's correct.
Well, I'm concerned that they're concerned about the agreement. Why do we need to schedule a hearing before we get that agreement? I mean, lawyers don't always work that fast. And I wouldn't want to have the public hearing until we had the agreement. This is sort of an odd, I know the Planning Commission does this all the time, but this is sort of an odd response. This isn't a up or down. This is a conditional referral back to us. Under our charter, I don't know how that works. But certainly we don't have anything to act on, I don't think, until we have these agreements in place. And my guess is that the lawyers will be much more responsive if we postpone scheduling that public hearing until we have the agreements in place. I think that's appropriate.
And jumping in a little late on it, I guess I'd be curious that matters whether it speeds up the lawyers if we keep an early date as opposed to setting a later date. But I totally agree that we need to have an understanding as to what the agreements and easements provide for prior to us having to act. With the setting of the public hearing, I guess I'll defer that to council.
Do they have a building schedule time that we're trying to accommodate?
I don't know that as a certain.
They're not going to start in the middle of winter.
Well, that's, yeah, I didn't think, I wouldn't think if we have a hearing in December, we could enact it in December, but I wouldn't think they're going to act until next spring anyway. Are they or are they? I don't know.
Are they asking us to move this forward quickly?
They talked both ways. If we couldn't get to the place where they wanted us on their egress and ingress driveways, they were going to ask us to delay it to the next month. But we negotiated that as part of these agreements, and so they were ready to move forward. However, you're not going to start construction in January or February. They may want to start in March. I don't see a problem with doing that. But if we're back in 2 weeks and we want to set the public hearing then is going to be on December 16th, our last meeting of the year, holiday-type meeting. And that's not a problem with me, but it's up to council what your pleasure is, because you can always delay the public hearing. But you can't shorten the notification if you don't set.
These traffic issues are big issues for this corner. As it was noted at the Planning Commission, the turning left off of King into here, we're going to prohibit that, Isn't that what we agreed to?
No.
No, we didn't?
That was discussed, but we had a couple, at least one member of the planning commission opposed to that change. He says he goes through there several times every day, and he didn't think it would be a problem, and didn't think it was appropriate for the city to limit it.
Well, I'll give you a perfect example of one that I experience all the time, and that's the one on McCord in the township.
We specifically discussed that one. That's crossing more lanes of traffic and more traffic, but it is the same setup, Doug. I absolutely agree with you.
Doug, you're talking McCord and Central?
Yes. Where you turn into the BW3 Plaza there. Or turning into the...
See, Doug, this was, you said it was an odd referral for the plan commission. It's odd for the planning commission to make a zoning change, which is not contingent on this owner moving ahead. You change the zoning, you change the zoning.
Right.
But we were in a position where we wanted to solve the driveway problem at the same time.
No, I understand. I'm not saying that, what I mean is, I'm not sure, when we get a conditional recommendation, I don't know how that translates under our code.
Obviously, this is new coming to the law department at this stage of the process, but I do recall one action in a while ago where conditions were placed upon a zoning change that required the reversion back to the previous zoning if the building were not demolished, if we're no longer used as a fuel station. That's the one, that's the place on Monroe Street.
Right.
So there is a precedent for putting in conditions and reversions and whatnot, but I've not thought this through yet. I haven't seen the proposed agreements, but I think we might be able to tailor make it, but it would be aggressive to try to get it all done by a given date, but I don't mind starting the process if that's what you want to do.
How long do you think it'll take us to get these agreements in place?
I'd have to defer to Kevin. I'm not...
Maybe after we see what they said.
Yeah.
Their attorney indicated, I talked to him today, and he indicated that he'd have some turnaround to us, you know, in short notice. He didn't give me a definitive date, so.
It depends upon, you know, the other condition we don't know or understand might be the condition of the purchase agreement, which may call for a zoning, some types of things being resolved in a certain time period, but...
And the owner here is Dearborn Land Improvement, is that right?
I don't believe...
Investment?
Yeah, they are probably in contract. You know, again, we have this issue of who's the applicant.
Well, how are they able to apply if they don't own the...
We've had this discussion in the past. It's a question of agency. I don't know, I've not looked, my expectation is that the title is not yet transferred. But they're probably...
Is the investment group affiliated with CVS? Or are they separate?
I can't answer that.
What I heard was that CVS has not committed to this project until these ingress and egress driveways are solved. This was the second plan commission meeting in a row that I got the, if you don't do what we want, we're going to go away. And I said, well, we already have a lot of pharmacies in town. So we got it where I wanted it. I'm not sure we're going to get them in it or not. So I have no problem with delaying this. It isn't like our residents don't have another pharmacy to go to for a while.
An ugly one at that.
It does seem to me if there's no sense of urgency for CVS Pharmacy, and we're not trying to drive to that timeline, then we have the time to sit back and take a look at what the final decisions are and what comes forward when they submit their agreements. And so I think we just should hold on that. Is there any?
I think you just table setting the public hearing until we have more information about the agreement. So no action is required. But the minutes reflect that. Council will not set the public hearing until they have more information about these cross easements and ingress egress driveway agreements. The next five items, 12B through 12F, are just reports back to you concerning the RV and boat legislation that you referred to them at the last meeting, the first meeting in October. They have made a recommendation recommending approval of these changes in the zoning code, and you have already set the public hearing for those for November 18th, 2013. So there is no action necessary on any of these. The public hearing will take place in about a month. Those items are covered in the Planning Commission meeting minutes that are a part of your pack. So with that, we're down to agenda item 13, committee reports. And as 13A, we have an employee and a community relations meeting both tonight and last week on the 16th. Mr. Lukey.
Right, Mr. Mayor. The committee had to address what turned out to be several appointments, either council appointments or other appointments that we had for informational purposes. The primary one was appointing a council representative to the CRA Housing Council. Appointments are being made to the Housing Council from the mayor's office, from the Plan Commission, and from council. We've already named Katie to be fill one of two seats. We had a second one remaining. We had two candidates who couldn't come together on the same night. So although I was absent, Mr. Brown and the rest of the committee held a meeting on the 16th, and then we held a meeting prior to council meeting tonight at 6:30 for the second candidate. Two candidates came forward, both very well qualified. Tom Reynolds, who is not only a member of our fire department, but also a local construction contractor, as I understand it. I think he presented very well at the meeting on the 16th. Also, Greg Feller, who is president of a civil engineering firm, Feller and Finch. He came in tonight and, again, was very well qualified and very well spoken. Both live in the city. Both are very interested in the position. Council discussed this, and we feel that we actually have a way to perhaps capture two very talented people for the Housing Council. A motion was made at the committee to recommend to council that we appoint Greg Feller as council's representative to the Housing Council, but then strongly recommend to the Housing Council itself that it would come, when it comes time for them to appoint their two appointments, that they appoint Tom Reynolds. So fundamentally, we like them both. We want them both. We think we have a process for that to happen. That was approved 4-0, and so I'd like to make a motion that we recommend Greg Feller to the Housing Council and strongly recommend an appointment for Tom Reynolds once the Housing Council is constituted.
For a second.
Second.
Been moved and seconded to appoint Greg Feller to the Housing Council and along with a strong recommendation of Tom Reynolds to be appointed to one of the Housing Council appointed seats. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Okay, second is purely informational. The Sylvania Historical Village Board has the ability to make two appointments. We were informed of that interest, two candidates, Ted Long and Tony Ariti. And my understanding is that the proper process will be followed to get those two people appointed. It's not a council appointment, it's purely informational. Third piece is an appointment that council has to the Sageyard Board, which is basically a reappointment. I hope I'm not getting too far ahead of the administration on this, but
we saw his email came Saturday night.
George Franz, who has served as a council representative for a number of years, including a term as president, has expressed interest in being reappointed to a 2-year term. The council voted to recommend to council that that be approved, and so I'd like to make a motion that council reappoint George Franz to a 2-year term on Sageyard.
Second.
It's a 2-year term?
That's what the letter said, although Katie thinks it's a 3-year term.
I think it is two.
You also think it's three, yeah.
I think it's 3 years.
Right.
And, Mr. Mayor, I think I gave a little error to what I suggested that Mr. Lukey enact. I think it's probably most appropriate to prepare a formal resolution.
Okay.
So that's what we've done in the past. So if we order the legislation, we'll bring it back and we'll make sure it's got the
right term in there. Okay. Well, then I'll modify my motion to reflect that.
That was my fault.
Sure.
All right, so the motion is to prepare legislation to reappoint George France to the State Yard Board for the next term.
Whichever term it may be.
Okay. Does second agree with that?
Yep.
Okay, all, yep. All in favor of the motion indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion carries, and we'll bring you that resolution at the next meeting.
Okay, and then we have one more.
Wow.
Yeah, who'd have thought? We had some discussion at our last council meeting about a reappointment the council has to the Board of Zoning Appeals. It's currently held by Norm Ladd. I think there was general discussion around the council table last time that he's well-qualified, and really the process is for me to check and see if he's interested. I talked with him. He does live, still live in the city, although he moved from the McCord Road area over to condo development just in the city. And he's also very interested in being reappointed. So unless there's an objection, I'd like to ask for the law director to prepare legislation to reappoint Norm Ladd.
Second.
I believe we need to prepare the legislation as well. So the motion is to prepare a resolution reappointing Norman Ladd to the Board of Zoning Appeal for an additional term. All in favor of that indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion carries.
And that's it.
Was a busy meeting. Thank you. On to added agenda item 13B. Mrs. Westfall, to schedule a finance committee meeting.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would like to schedule a finance committee meeting to discuss budget, and I had reached out to Mr. Milner and expected to hear from him prior to this time, and did not, as it turns out. So I am proposing that we have a meeting at 5 o'clock on Monday, November 4th, but I do feel like I'd want to confirm that with Mr. Milner. Is that agreeable? You are.
Mm-hmm.
Fellow finance committee member. So as soon as I get that confirmation from him, I'll confirm that with Sharon as well, so that she can.
So you want to do that November 4th?
November 4th at 5 o'clock.
So you're not going to set it in the changes? You're going to let the clerk know?
I'll let the clerk know. I'd like to confirm with Mr. Milner. I fully anticipated hearing from him before this we've talked, but I don't have final confirmation.
All right. So it's tentatively set for that, pending confirmation. Any other committee reports to be made at this time? Agenda item 14, any committee referrals to be made? Hearing none, I bring your attention to information item A. This is confirming what's already in the budget to purchase 4 additional police vehicles for this model year. They are in this year's budget, but we will not take delivery, Chief, until next March or so?
Sometime in the spring.
In the spring, all right. It is within the budgeted amount by a few thousand dollars, so it looks like we're all right. Again, just an informational item so that you know that it's there, and it was part of our 2013 budget. And then we did add information item D concerning those outages in Toledo Edison. We'll post those as well on the website. If there's no further business, is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved. Second.
It's been moved and seconded to adjourn. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion carries, and this council stands adjourned to its next regularly scheduled meeting on Monday, November 4th at 7:30 p.m. Thank you all for attending this evening.